Dark Wings.
Dork Words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 3, Episode 3.
The Walk of Punishment. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are...
Craig McCauley.
Mike Argert.
BJ.
So, a lot of good stuff this week. A couple interesting, sort of non-bookish, made-up-for-the-show elements. But I think they're hitting a lot of high points from the books. I think, what do we see first? Lord Hoster Tully's funeral boat.
Hoster makes his first appearance
as a dead man,
first and last. As does Edmure Tully and
the Blackfish.
He says, "I'm glad," he says, "people have been calling me the Blackfish so long they've forgotten my real name, because I too have forgotten his real name."
Line. never mind.
So they believe in the River Styx ethos as well. You know, you cover the eyes with the coins. And
was there coins on the eyes?
Hire a poor archer to do your bidding away.
In the book, I think they state that, you know, no one ever misses that shot. Like, the most revered...
archer does it, basically.
The lord who's inheriting River Run from the lord that's passing...
Gets
to shoot the arrow and... has to nail it to kind of prove his worth. And so it's a great character moment from the book that is a great way to introduce. And follow that up quickly with Rob dressing Edmure down for referencing a battle where... They got the mill, but Rob was trying to lure the mountain in a trap. And Edmure, in his haste for... A little battle glory. Screwed the pooch.
Yep. Really, you'd never heard a good speech, I don't think, from Rob about battle tactics and, like...
It was also
kind of a manly...
And more impassioned, angry Rob than we've seen. It seemed like better, maybe... I don't want to say better acting, but it was definitely... Had the desired effect, maybe.
A little more character building for Rob, making him a little more kingly. Ooh, I need advice.
I said aloud.
Yeah.
If I recall.
He exclaimed.
I exclaimed.
Well, at this point in the story, there are so many vying for the Iron Throne. You know, viewers and readers, you get invested. I mean, basically, you're going to pick a front runner, right?
Yep.
Like, who would you like to see take the Iron Throne, Phil?
A dark horse. Somebody we don't even expect.
You think?
Rooting for the underdog.
You don't like any of the...
Sansa.
The kings that are up there? Well, who would be that dark horse? You think if a character hasn't been introduced in the first three seasons of the show that's worthy of the Iron Throne, then...
Well, I don't think there's a darker horse than Stannis, especially right now, is there? Some would argue the rightful heir, he would argue.
He's looking desperate.
Yeah.
His fires are low.
Yeah, now more than ever, desperate. Getting some lip from the
he got lady. a cold cheek from Melisandre.
For once, like,
yeah. He would be all right if he could just bang one more time.
I was a little disappointed that he says, like, let's make another son, basically hinting, let's pop out some more shadow babies and off those other.
I want to kill Joffrey,
and Robb Stark, and she's like,
that's not how it works.
Does he get one kill per son per shadow baby? It's like, you know, like you did with Renly, with the shadow.
I guess the babies are a one-time use.
But in the book, I don't think Stannis ever acknowledged that he knew that that's how Renly got offed, exactly. He sort of gets a little fuzzy about it, and he's just like, you know, something happened.
But in this one, he's already been like, I killed my own brother, like...
He's like, I know, we talked about it, we did the shadow baby thing, that was awesome, let's do some more of that.
That's when I was at my high point, man. Shadow baby's doing my bidding.
Stannis, he's not as strong as the Stannis from the book, I don't think. this Stannis is a little...
A little more...
Well, he's a little pathetic in this episode.
Things are relative. He always seemed previously pretty strong next to Davos when he was being very condescending and kingly and everything else. But no, next to this Melisandre, yeah, he looks pretty lame.
I mean, he's brittle and stern, like he's supposed to be, but he's not sort of as steadfast and stubborn.
He's definitely not sure of much right now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're just leaving for, you know, when are you going to be back, man?
Where's she going anyway?
You leaving me, baby?
I miss you already.
I don't know what this whole Melisandre
leaving
journey is. Yeah. But they did mention one key thing about how...
There's others with the kingly blood.
Mm-hmm. Is it clear? What do you think is going on there?
She's going for a seduction.
Popping out for a quick seduction.
I'm not quite sure what they're going for yet with it.
Well, yeah, right. It's mysterious.
We'll figure it out while we're asleep tonight.
She's mysterious.
Wake up tomorrow and know it.
Enigmatic. That Melisandre is.
She's got it all planned out.
She's very sure of herself.
She seems a lot more mortal and normal now, you know, rather than her.
Is that a shadow baby birthing?
That too.
Shadow baby snoring.
It's supposed to be flames ensconcing something.
I didn't get that from that noise.
Well, bad Foley work.
We need to hire a Foley artist.
Classic chin music. Yeah. What else did we see at River Run? The Blackfish has a tender moment with Catelyn.
Yep. Talking about not so good old days, I guess, they didn't really get along as brothers, I guess.
Right. Yeah. He's, you know, like the Blackfish of the family. Yep. Left home early or whatever, but... That doesn't have a lot of weight in the show since we never met Lord Hoster. It's just a little background to sort of have him step in and be like a father figure to Catelyn, right? Which is good.
And we did get to see River Run on the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not not sure that the topography around River Run was accurately depicted, but it's on the map.
We can go back and watch it again. We'll figure it out. No, I would think they would do that correctly. So.
No worse than that bullshit they pulled with the Fist of the First Men, am I right?
Up top.
Oh. Virtual five.
Well, we visited the Fist of the First Men this episode, and that little horse head spirograph is...
Crop circle.
Yeah.
always the artist.
That was
very carefully
was weird.
Done.
Interesting. Creepy.
You wouldn't really get the message as a foot soldier on that one, you know. You'd have to be a warg and fly over it. Ka-caw, ka-caw.
Pretty cool. Short
for warg's eyes only.
In the very first episode, when there was like the dead people at the camp, were they laid out in like any sort of geometric shape?
I think they were laid out in a dead way.
But they were just strewn about, right? Or were they in a circle or anything? Weirdly.
I don't remember, because then they disappeared, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know where they went.
Is season one available on demand?
Yes.
Maybe we should review that.
We could.
Chuck demands it.
He demands satisfaction.
Not right now.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And they spoke of, well, all the crow's bodies were gone. So the implication from that is pretty ominous.
The best crows are now the best blue-eyed fighting guys.
Right. Oh, and there's some good exposition there about what Mance Rayder's planning and what's about to happen.
Yeah. I wonder if Jon suddenly was like, oh. I mean, he knew what was coming, right?
Well.
Or he had an idea.
I don't think Jon knows what the hell's happening right now. He's just sort of...
Trying not to get killed by saying the wrong thing.
Pretty much. But I think he's spying within the ranks, essentially, for the Night's Watch. But at the same time,
You don't know if he's turned cloak.
Now that the Night's Watch just got its ass kicked by the others, by the White Walkers, he might be wondering what the next move is.
I mean, yeah, he doesn't know who's left even alive after the battle there, so.
Yeah, exactly. All of his brothers might be dead as far as he knows, but he does know that Mance has a plan to at least...
attack the Black, as they say.
Well, Mance...
They don't say that.
Mance's goal is to get all the wildlings south of the wall so that they have the wall between them and the White Walkers. And now that John's getting chummy with some of the wildlings, he might kind of feel like that's okay. Who knows?
So he kept him in check by telling Tormund, take Jon Snow up there, and if he steps out of line, kill him.
Right. So Tormund, Giant's Bane. Do they call him his full title?
I think when they introduced him, didn't they?
The Bane of Giants.
He's not quite the sort of boisterous character that he is.
Mm-mm.
But because he's been amalgamated, like him, and there was the other guy who's kind of like a more bloodthirsty, earnest warrior type, is the guy who...
Ernest goes to war.
Who is sent to go scale the wall, right?
Correct.
In the book. So anyway, so he's kind of being... Yeah, Ernest goes to scale the wall.
Who wants to sign up for that job? Ooh.
That should make for a pretty good CG sequence.
Yeah.
Some wall scaling.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise unavailable for comment. He climbs buildings, I guess. Mm-hmm. Some movies.
Are you sure he's unavailable? I mean...
Doesn't he comment on anything that anyone will listen to him comment on, usually? He has a lot to say.
I don't think we have an avenue or space for Scientology in this podcast.
Not yet.
I'm going to come up missing in a week.
Long live Xenu.
So let's cover all our bases.
Yeah. Yeah.
We see what appears to be the first meeting of Lord Tywin's small council.
The new small council.
Everyone kind
of musical chairs going on and shuffling of chairs.
Lots of awkward silence before anyone really says anything.
It's like the Will Smith test scene in Men in Black when they all have to take the little pencil test and he drags the table over by his chair. And that was like that. The real test is are you bold enough to manipulate the furniture to
right.
your advantage?
Kobayashi Maru, you know what I'm saying.
That was one of a couple of somewhat comic relief, but in context of some psychological jousting in the episode, and then one, you know, the other was just straight up comic relief with the
Littlefinger rushes up first and gets the hot seat next to Tywin.
Cersei makes her own hot seat.
Yep.
They bring out a little chair for Peter Dinklage. They don't.
I liked that sort of the sarcastically long dragging of the chair.
Then you got the little adjustment at the end where it's like...
But wasn't he just dressed down by his dad? Worthless,
yeah.
And now he's
pretty
got gumption.
Yeah.
And now he's master of coin.
Which is, I think, they pretty well convey that it's like a thankless job that nobody wants, right?
Yeah. And kind of, yeah, Master Pycelle and everybody who he's... screwed over is just like, oh,
agreed.
Yeah, you'd be great. Oh, it's a fun job, Tyrion. He'll love it.
Lord Tyrell was noticeably absent. Maybe there is no one cast as Lord Tyrell. He's got to show up at the wedding.
You would think.
One would think.
We'll see. I mean,
Tyrion points out that's going to be super expensive or whatever.
Open bar, man.
Flagons of ale for everyone.
Speaking of, how's the flagon coming along?
I've got a piece of maple selected.
Maple, eh?
I thought you were going to cut a tree down.
The tree was already cut down and in my garage.
Did you fell it?
Well, no. Someone else fell it.
Hmm.
And then they left it in my garage to be used as firewood. But, I mean, that's kind of shit.
You know,
I have to go fell it.
The whole flagon conversation ended up on the cutting room floor.
Oh. Well, Craig wants to make a flagon. Is going to make a flagon.
A couple. Well,
season three, episode four. Craig makes a flagon.
I don't want to talk about it now because then this part will get end up on the cutting room floor, right?
It depends on how hilarious it is.
Pretty.
Craig's going to end up on the cutting room floor drunk tonight.
All right. Well, more on that later.
That's my guess. All right. Yeah, you can edit that in. Podcast by yourself later on. Do we go...
Flagons. We were talking about flagons.
Oh, no. That's...
No, I mean of ale or something.
Oh, yeah. How about the wedding?
Right. There's a besmirching that happens.
What's this?
Besmirching of honor.
A nigh besmirching.
Well, no. There is a nigh besmirching and then...
An actual besmirching?
With three sexy ladies.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. The Erotic Adventures of Padraig Payne.
We're not... Yeah. Are we to that yet? I guess we can talk about it in whatever order we want.
It follows.
Right, so Tyrion is in the whorehouse, which apparently is Littlefinger's, like, head office.
Oh, yes.
And
Pod's getting a little
Pod
view
is,
of Roz's.
Yeah. Wasn't there some cleavage in the preceding scene? It was like
yeah, we went from boob to boob, pretty much.
Yes, it was a titillating sequence.
What was the preceding scene?
I'm not sure.
God, why don't I remember what you're talking about?
Was it,
the conversation?
Missandei?
Oh, Missandei?
Was it
the new...
Daenerys,
okay.
Yeah.
Negotiates.
She is super hot, by the way.
She is the mother of dragons.
Daenerys?
No.
Oh, Missandei.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's rocking that cleavage.
She, I don't know how she keeps that thing on, necessarily.
A lot of side boob. A lot of it. Half boob. Corn half boob.
This podcast writes itself.
We got thing. Some more, whoever the slaver guy is with his, you know, just talking shit.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff.
That salty dude.
Yeah. And then he, yeah. You know, he finally speaks, like, English language, you know, for how many dragons he wants. So he obviously would know what she's saying then, right? Because I don't think they go through
well, everyone the interpreter knows what girl. Dragon means.
Really?
She didn't have to interpret everything for him. He clearly understood her, and I think in the book it's just kind of like he pretends to not understand her,
just as like an advantage, basically.
As an advantage, but also because he doesn't want to lower himself to speak her mongrel tongue, kind of a thing. He's like that.
he's a real dick.
Yeah, I think they've accurately conveyed his mm-hmm. dickishness.
Yeah,
there's a great sort of. Conversation on the Walk of Punishment, where
Jorah and Barristan are kind of a
little bit at odds,
yeah.
Trying to get in. Well, I mean, Jorah's trying to. He doesn't want Barristan to take his kind of right hand man position, I guess.
Yeah, but Barristan kind of cinches it by referencing Rhaegar,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Daenerys's brother.
But he did kind of. Goof up by saying the last dragon.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Then they both goofed up when they were kind of. She's like, "Don't talk shit about me when I'm in a meeting."
But I was.
She's like, "Listen, guys, don't you know when I just go, I can call the dragon back and fly back to me."
They may have made it seem that
here, dragon.
I think that their sort of unwillingness to part with the dragon. Would have helped sell the concept that this dragon is worth more than these Unsullied. Like, I think their reaction helped seal the deal a little bit.
Yeah.
The reaction.
But it was an honest reaction. They weren't jockeying for some sales angle.
So on the one hand, you might think, I mean, Daenerys might have anticipated that would be their reaction and played that to her advantage, but instead she scolded them for it. So I guess she just wanted them to be... To have her back, not question her in front of the dick.
She's not the best tactician, but she definitely wants respect for everyone who deserves it, including herself.
It's, I mean, the whole, like, give me some water so I can give some water to this poor dying man on the cross. I mean, after scrolling past, like, 30 others,
yeah.
Why did she stop and decide to take sort of half-hearted pity on that one?
Because he was alive.
Was he the first one who was still alive?
As he walked down the walk of punishment.
They all look dead to me.
They're dead to me! Jorah's showing his miles a little bit by saying, listen, Khaleesi, you know, this is war. You haven't really done much war. He asked Sir Barristan Selmy, how many wars have you seen? Three? I think that may have kind of also been a parenthetical. Little girl, how many wars have you seen? Oh, none. That's right. Then he goes on with the, shit happens. People get killed.
Have you ever seen a war where innocents haven't been slaughtered by the thousands?
Right. So kind of maybe kind of patronly, like getting her ready, taking that little bit of a father figure half roll, corn half roll with her and trying to toughen her up a bit maybe.
Is that a sushi roll?
Sounds delicious until Mike said sushi.
Oh. Then it sounded even better.
I thought it was just a roll of bread, maybe.
Speaking of bread, Hot Pie makes
a
good wolf bread, the brown bread.
Evidently, they don't know how to make bread at this inn.
Wow.
As emotional a goodbye as could be mustard for these three. Yeah.
Is it just me, or did the long, tearful goodbye, farewell to Hot Pie, seem a little too much? A little out of place.
Yeah.
It was stilted scene.
He was always just kind of like this guy that you knew his name, but you never, at least in the series, you never really felt like a connection.
I don't know that I ever really knew his name outside of you guys talking about him.
I didn't know his name. I knew the temperature of his pie.
Piping. It just seems a little odd that they would dedicate so much sort of screen time and such a heartfelt moment to such a tertiary character.
And as a viewer, I'm led to believe we don't see Hot Pie again after that, you know.
Well, that's what you might think, but never say never.
But you might be right.
Hot Pie. Well, that's where I was. That's what I was leading into with
Hot Pie's
who do you think is
going to
take the Iron Throne conversation earlier? Sometimes the king is who you least expect.
It's hard to lift him off the throne. Fat jokes. I'm just playing in
more
the
fat
episodes.
Jokes.
All right.
Fat Craster was making fun of Fat Sam.
Yeah.
He just can't catch a break from
anybody.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there feeling wounded and insulted, and Sam is, and then he has to wander and witness a childbirth next thing. Terrible day. Jeez.
I thought he was going to like faint or something. That would have been Samish.
Well, he knew what was going on in there.
Yeah.
Make me a Samish.
And it was, it was Jilly that was having the baby.
Jilly?
The baby boy.
Bad news.
We know right where that's going.
That's where Craig got his big N.
That's not the kind of big N I was looking for. Thanks.
Craig loves that baby nudity. You can't cut that.
Okay. 25, 36, 25, 43.
So they're all badass outside of Craster's, hands on swords when he's not going to let them in. And then, I mean, they could just kill the guy after or because, you know.
Was that the implication that they were saying,
we're going to stay here?
It's desperate times. Yeah. And I'm surprised he waffled at all because nothing in his demeanor has ever been waffly.
Is he some lofty figure north of the wall? Like, I forget.
He's an asset.
No, he's just kind of out there with his own little...
Nobody would know.
Encampment. Nobody would know if the Night's Watch just cruised on in and...
Put some Valyrian steel on his gut and stayed there for a few days.
Well,
maybe freed some daughters.
Some of the brothers might be thinking just that very thing.
They had eyes for the ladies.
If I was surrounded by morose and unhappy sister wives or daughter wives, I guess I think I'd change something. You know, the place is so just dreary. No one's happy.
Put up some new curtains or something.
Yeah, something. Anything.
Bright colors.
It is as Craster likes it.
Yep.
The home reflects the man.
Yeah, he's a dick.
He is.
I wasn't sure what to take from the hound scene, and I mean, we were kind of left last week with Arya in deep shit, and the implication isn't quite so much there right now. It's like, am I a prisoner? No, you're a guest.
Well, they show.
I don't know if it's as sticky of a situation anymore. You know where it's going.
It's sort of a friendly hostage situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's basically saying, you know, the forest isn't safe for you. You're lucky we found you. Gendry's happy to have a job as a blacksmith, helping some more or less friendly dudes out.
Yeah.
Hot Pie's happy to have a job at the inn, but Arya's a little peeved that she's not kind of striking out on her own. She had sort of River Run in her sights.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I mean, in the book, they're kind of like, oh yeah, we're going to River Run, right? We're going to take you to see her.
I think they tell her that they will eventually return her to her family at River Run, but there'll be more of that next week, probably.
Yeah.
I think we saw a glimpse in the scenes of some more Brotherhood Without Banners.
Well, some of us did.
Some of us were desperately trying not to
be spoiled.
Be spoiled.
My honor is
don't
not
defile her.
To be spoiled.
Will your parents give me a bag full of sapphires? Your weight in sapphires?
Not anymore.
Guess your weight in sapphires, or your next guess is free.
There's more valuable stones out there, right?
Yeah.
And isn't the whole joke is that it's just like, I mean, Jaime was just bullshitting.
Yes. Well, it's not a joke. It's,
well,
I mean,
it's a bluff.
Yeah.
He is who she said.
Well,
she
it's going to be a joke on that guy when.
Well, we see those soldiers kind of tromping along singing the Bear and the Maiden Fair. And Jaime and Brienne have a conversation as they're tied together on that horse. Well, she's kind of giving him a hard time about losing the sword fight. And, you know, questioning his much vaunted sword mastery. And so he kind of counters with, you know, those dudes are going to rape you. Which is kind of a nasty thing to say. So,
but it seems to be out of true concern, don't you agree? He's starting to...
Well, he's
coming around.
He's tailing her just to lie back and take it. And don't struggle or else they'll kill you. So
he always wanted a broad that could wield a sword.
But then when, I mean, she's like, I'd fight, and then when she asked him what he would do, he says, I'd make him kill me. Yeah. So.
Well, she's his only partial ally in this whole thing, and I mean, only an ally to deliver him to King's Landing, but still, she has a mission. She's kind of his protector in a way. They're a team a bit, in that their enemy, the enemy of my friend is my...
Wait, kind of friend?
How's it go? Yeah.
I don't know.
So, you know, part of it, I'm sure, is a basic need in their protection of each other, but part of it, you know, we're traveling pals. And
don't get to choose who you love.
You only get to love who you choose.
Love the one you're with.
Love the one you're with.
I love you guys. What? Platonically.
Like he loves Theon in the forest.
Oh.
Near miss.
What do we think about the whole Theon situation? That was our only real kind of action-y sequence. Yeah.
I'm still confused by
Theon was very confused as well.
Yeah. I'm confused why when an arrow passes you by close enough that you feel the breeze from the arrow, you don't start running right at that moment. You look around.
You stop and
turn
around.
Oh, maybe it's my sister shooting arrows at me. No.
I don't understand why they were riding down that forest path and there were still low-hanging branches all over the place. Like, no, it's a forest path. People ride by here on a horse all the time.
No one. They don't have good road maintenance there.
Well, they should write a strongly worded edict.
If you see a low branch, cut it down. Make a flagon out of it.
Did the men who captured Theon ever identify themselves?
Or who were chasing him?
Yeah.
The same, man.
Yeah, the same.
I don't think so. I guess I just assumed it was...
halt in the name of the same.
Or else how would they... I don't...
I mean, we have an idea, but I'm just wondering if they...
No. It seemed like...
Phil, any idea? Like, did anything...
Darkly hooded dudes. Was it suggested that they were Northmen of any sort? I forget.
Well, I think it...
I think they came from, you know, where
he said, kept. Yeah, you're, this is, you know what we do to people who run off.
Run often.
So, yeah. I mean, they were a recall party, right?
I just assumed it was, they were, you know, the Bastard of Bolton's guys where they escaped from. Well, the one guy's with them, so the guy who let him loose.
But I just, like, in the scene last week where they were torturing Theon and asking him, what were they even asking him?
Why'd you
take Winterfell?
Yeah.
And they tortured him. But did they never identified who they were or why they cared.
Yeah, they never did.
I guess we just assume there's some Northmen that wanted to punish him for having done that, which they would be well within their rights to do. Theon. We may forget, or you might feel sorry for Theon, what with the screw through the foot and all, but he did kind of... Ask for it.
Yep.
Yeah, he gets what he deserves, but he's gotten so much crap.
Growing up.
He's never, just in the series, he's never gotten... What did Theon ever do since we've seen him on screen that he ended up being happy about or someone said, good job? I mean, character-wise, I think he's someone who has never had anything good happen to him.
Are you projecting?
Let's not turn this into a psychologist like evaluation.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault, Greg.
That's all I ever wanted to hear.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
We did get a pretty throwaway scene. This is what's up on the screen right now with Rob's wife and the
cousin's Lannister.
I thought it was, I was like, why is this even in here?
Yeah.
You could have devoted like
touch and base.
A minute and a half, 2 minutes to something that actually matters instead of this crap.
For some
touch and base, right?
Some reason they just want to have her be a stronger character than she was in the books. So they just keep giving her extra stuff to do. We already had a scene last season where a couple of Lannister soldiers were sort of talking about the myth of Robb and his wolf. And
they were peeing, right, or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we already have that. We didn't need to hear boogeyman stories about what Robb Stark is and does.
Who knows how long that scene could have been and ended up being mostly cut when maybe they should have cut the whole thing, too. You know, hey, she's Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter, you know?
She begs screen time.
Another kind of, I guess, another, we were talking about tertiary characters. Well, is Podrick a tertiary character? I mean...
No, Podrick, well...
He got the... What type of knot was that? That
Myrinese knot?
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to show us the Myrinese knot. I thought it would just be sort of, you know, one of those...
Leave it to the imagination.
Exactly.
It's the boldest capital N so far, perhaps.
Yeah. I'm not sure I wanted to see the Myrinese knot.
Come on, man.
I don't
bet.
Go outside your comfort zone.
But yeah, Podrick looked like he was in for quite a wild time. And
evidently was pretty...
He came into his own.
Is that why you didn't have to pay?
I'm a little perplexed. What?
I mean, it was kind of a comic reliefy.
I guess it's comic reliefy.
I mean, that's all it was.
That's all it was.
That entire scene.
I guess I was trying to read too much into it. Like, what's Pod?
No.
I mean, at least it has to do with, you know. Pod him getting repaid for, you know, saving Tyrion, so
I'm sure HBO
a little storyline
needs a certain amount of capital in to, you know, there's a certain group of viewers that
capital N quota
that might not tune in if the capital N.
I think they
weird
goes,
perverts.
Goes away. I don't know if that's true, but I mean, I welcome the capital
you,
N.
You don't think sex sells? You don't think that's a thing that's a real thing in movie and TV and stuff like that?
I don't think that
maybe none of this is sexy.
I don't
is
think
that your point?
That, I don't think fan. Well, not really. But yeah, I don't think fans of this show are like, oh, there's no tit. Well, except for you, no tits this week.
Well, people don't say that kind of stuff. Sometimes they feel that way, but you know, society says no. You can't just go around saying that, especially not on a podcast where everyone can hear you. What?
Spit water.
Spit take.
I was surprised that Bronn was willing to push the cart of books.
He probably charged Tyrion like a couple gold pieces.
Well, probably.
He's getting kind of sassy, or sassier.
They're good. I like them together. I think it's a because they still talk about shit that's relevant to the plot and things like that. But they've got a pretty good rapport.
Bronn could be a dark horse for the Iron Throne.
Sir Bronn.
Sir.
Yeah. Sir Bronn. Write him in.
Sir Bronn of the Blackwater. Is that what they call him? Because he was knighted for his prowess in the Battle of the Blackwater. Good on him.
His family was given the razor industry.
Huh. I just got it.
It's a Sunday night.
B-R-O-N-N.
A slow.
Sorry.
He doesn't know how it's spelled.
Yeah.
I have my own spellings.
What else did we talk about? You tried to make a Jane something joke that was a Jane Westerling joke. And since Phil hasn't read the books, I was like, oh, it's J-E-Y-N-E. And he's just like, God damn it. Well, that joke doesn't work at all then. Well.
Way to ruin the comedy.
Read the books.
I can't. I'm illiterate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Danny was looking good this week. I mean, even...
What, you're going to come down on my nudity thing?
No, well, I'm not coming down on the nudity.
She's covered up. It's decent.
I was really kind of more... looking. I'm not sure what I was...
Oh, you mean like, she was a good character? Like, looking good character?
No. I like
he liked
looking hot and delicious. That's why
he liked the shape of her ass.
When you were saying how hot Missandei looked, I assumed you were referring to Danny because...
Oh, man.
Yeah, Danny looked a little...
But she wasn't showing as
featureless
much cleavage,
in comparison.
So you might not have noticed.
No, she looked good.
The Miranis not just showed up on the screen. That's when it got super quiet for 2.7 seconds.
What have we not talked about?
There's got to be more scenes.
I think.
Well, we haven't talked about the...
I think we've...
The last kind of...
Been saving the last for the last.
The raping and the... bargaining and the chopping.
Yeah, the chopping. I'm really impressed with the chopping.
They did it well.
Yes.
I like that they just went out just at the very end, shock to the system, and then straight into the hold steady.
Yeah.
I had a premonition of a hand chopping happening, and then they just... And then he dug the blade in Jamie's eye.
I thought maybe he was going to
give him a little slice on the cheek or something, and they were going to go away from the chopping.
Well, they
That's
did.
How they got me.
They illustrated that they were putting his hand out on the table, right?
Yeah.
And then a little misdirection with the eyeball. Yeah.
It was good. Although, I don't know, that blade looked a little... I thought it would take him... I think they should have done it with, like, a couple chops to make it...
The Theon decapitation style.
That was a hefty blade, though.
Yeah, that's true, but...
Not a lot of, probably, torque, or not torque, but...
Force equals mass times acceleration?
That.
I would have taken a little blood spurting, like, out of the stump.
Oh, there was a pool of...
Yeah, it was
pool
coming.
Of blood. Yeah. Ugh.
The spurting's just for the... That's movie magic.
Yeah.
Oh, Theon took a pretty good...
afford it.
Pretty good morning star to the...
to the chest.
God, I think, wouldn't that just... That would kill you,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty
I
much
guess
it.
Armor, maybe.
I don't think you have armor coming out, escaping from a rack.
It's all just tunics, I guess.
That leather, it's a lifesaver.
Did anyone think that the guard getting finished off with a point-blank arrow range was a little too like Lord of the Rings?
Nah.
Did they do that in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, they did exactly a guy on his knees in front of him. Someone approaches point-blank range. The orc.
Gangsta execution style.
The orc to scene bean.
Well, I didn't really watch all the movies.
Oh, okay. Well, it was exactly the same, except he got shot in the head instead of the chest. I don't know. I just thought it had already been done.
It's just still pretty badass. I'm going to say we've covered everything.
Yeah.
Covered your bases.
I think, well, for those of us who watch the preview for next week.
Oh, God.
Badassery is, I think, going to...
Badassery is afoot.
Yeah.
Next episode might be more action-packed.
I hope.
Action-laden.
More hands chopped off.
Action-laden.
Maybe some legs.
Hosen.
More Myrinese knots.
And later hosen.
Well, yes.
It was a good episode.
Good stuff. This whole season is rock solid.
Tasty.
Setting up a lot of interesting threads for all the characters. Good stuff. So we'll pick it up next week. Later, Hosen.